Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. I am Jonathan Tate, an associate pastor at Run for Christ Ministries, and I will be going through Ephesians chapter 5, picking up where we left off last week in terms of our Saturday Sunday school. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this awesome day. We thank you for watching over us throughout the night and for allowing us a brand new opportunity to praise you and to worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love, your care, your protection, and your healing, everything, Lord. Right now, Lord, pray that you would guide us through. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. So we are at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. And it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, this doesn't mean that as you get married that you lose your your personality or identity. This means that you work together considering the other one's needs and their wants and their thoughts, their opinions. You consider one another, so you work hand in hand with each other to remain united. It's not just in title, it's an action. You know, so many times people, you know, ascribe certain titles to themselves, or, you know, they're big into titles, being a husband or a wife or a CEO or a supervisor or a boss or whatever the case may be, but all of those titles have responsibilities. And once you become married and you unite with one another and the two become one, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And yes, that means that your parents should not be in all of your business. Yes, that means that no one should be in all of your business as a married couple. What you guys have going on is between each other and with the Lord. period. Now, if you're seeking guidance or advice or anything like that, of course, you know, feel free to seek that outside of your marriage. But as long as you two are on the same accord with who you go to and what you're going to discuss, so the two become one. You work together hand to hand. You get to the point where you've seen probably some husbands or wives where they'll finish each other's sentences. They know they can communicate without speaking a word to each other. You know, things like that where you're building your relationship in unity with the Lord first and foremost, and then with each other, and the two will become one flesh. Amen. Verse 32 says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Remember, Christ is the groom. The church is the bride, and not the building. Those of us who have professed that the Lord is our Lord and Savior and, you know, our elder brother. So once you got saved, you joined the church, the body of Christ, which is the bride. The Lord is the groom. So when you think about marriage in the spiritual, it will help you understand marriage in the physical. So, you know, Christ is the perfect groom. You know, he laid down his life. He's the Savior, sanctifier, satisfier of the church. And we are in him, and he's in us. So the two of us have become one once you got saved. So it doesn't have to be more complicated than that. But if you understand the spiritual terms of marriage and the meaning of marriage, then you'll understand the physical. You know, so many times people get into relationships, and I have, you know, as well, where you get into relationships where you're not seeking the spiritual meaning and understanding first, and then you move on based upon things that you have in your mind, your thoughts, and you can't do that regarding marriage for it to work or for it to last. You have to be going about it the Lord's way. And, you know, the church is his bride. He's our groom. All right. Verse 33 says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. You know, if you love you and you care about you as a man, it won't be difficult for you to love your wife and for her to respect you. And the man has to be under the submission, as we read previously in this chapter. The man has to be under the submission of Christ for things to be in order first and foremost. And then, you know, the man is deemed the head of the household, but that's because of the responsibility that the Lord gave him while he's being submitted to the Lord. And then the wife simply just must respect her husband based upon what he's doing under Christ. I dare to say if more Christian marriages were in order, that the divorce rate wouldn't be so high. Remember this, as God's children, we are called, we're natural role models. We're called to do his work and to be his representatives on earth. We must lead the way according to God's word and, you know, living your life in a pleasing manner to him, so that we can set the example for the rest of the world, because it's not just that non-Christian marriages fail at a high rate. There's a fair amount of Christian marriages that fail at a high rate. And I'm not judging anyone because I'm divorced, but I do understand that things have to be in order for things to work. And if you have the spiritual understanding of marriage and the order of the man submits to Christ and the wife respects her husband, you know, it's just that simple. But if you have the greater meaning and understanding that, hey, the Lord is the groom, the church is the bride, we follow his lead, we're in him and he's in us, the two become one. So once you have that understanding, the concept of marriage won't be so difficult to grasp. Amen. And that concludes chapter 5. Moving on to chapter 6. This is actually the last chapter in Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Let's look back at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Real simple. Children, do what you're told by your parents, for this is right. And this comes from the Lord. You know, this is the Lord's instruction to children and parents. And that's it. And as parents, as Christian parents, we're supposed to set the boundaries based upon what the Lord says in his word and what the Lord is instructing you to do as a parent. And the children are supposed to obey their parents. I was raised in a household where you didn't go back and forth with mother. You know, when she said, hey, this is your week to wash dishes, you execute it, or you will be executed. You know, that's the household I was raised in. Marsha didn't really play that, going back and forth with kids or, you know, trying to explain why. It was, hey, this is what I need you to do, be about it. And, you know, I mentioned washing dishes or whatever, but I'm glad that my mother taught me how to clean, you know, because I don't live in a pigsty now. You know, I don't believe in leaving dishes in the sink like that, you know. So there's a purpose, especially when you have a Christian mother, father, and this is what the Lord says, and this is right. Verse 2 says, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with the promise. Okay, so as children, you obey, you do what you're told from your parents. We all know that we grow and we become adults eventually. And now it's honor your father and mother. And this is simply when you honor your father and mother, you respect them and you love them. You know, you hold them in high regard as your elder. You know, my mother told me once I became a man, you know, that, hey, right now, I'm going to always be your mom, but all I can do is give you advice because some things in life you pretty much going to have to figure out on your own, you know. So that was when the dynamics of our relationship changed. I mean, she's always going to be my mother. But, you know, as far as, you know, technically being obedient, that was when I was a child. When I became an adult, it was, you know, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to love you and respect you. And, you know, when you do obey your parents, you demonstrate love and respect. So this is not something new. It should be something that you put into practice from childhood on up through the rest of your life, you know. And even in my mom's absence on earth, you know, but present in glory, I still love her and honor her. You know, I found more like her, you know, when I'm talking to my kids or sometimes to adults, because she would fuss at adults too. But honor your mother, your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. And then verse 3, we see that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So that's the promise. You know, you obey your parents, which is right in the Lord, and then you honor your mother and father. And it's the first commandment with the promise is basically saying, hey, you honor your mother and father, you don't have long life. You'll enjoy long life on the earth. I'm good with that. You know, I recently connected with my father in March of this year for the first time in my life. And, you know, we're building a relationship. And one thing that I keep in mind is that no matter what, he's my father. So I have to honor him and show him respect and love in that. And I'm good with that. You know, we are building a pretty good relationship. So I'm a fuss at him when I catch up with him because he ain't returned my call for last week. But, you know, I ain't going to fuss out of disrespect. You know, it'll be like, hey, you all right? I need to check on you. So verse 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. When you see that word exasperate, it's basically to irritate on purpose. It means to really bother them, you know, just to, you know, just poke at them, you know. And it's, and you making them, basically making them angry on purpose. And it says clearly, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I had an opportunity to speak to a father who's, his kid is much younger than mine. And I explained to him yesterday, we were talking, I said, literally it's your job as a parent to teach them everything, to instruct them on everything. And you do this because of a relationship with the Lord. The Lord will truly tell you, and I've been angry at my sons. And, you know, he'd be like, hey, time out, cool out. This is the approach you're going to take. And that's one beautiful thing. If I can just encourage each and every one of you, draw closer to the Lord. He will literally help you throughout everything you're going through. He will address and advise and instruct everything that you have going on. And I appreciate that because there have been times where I wanted to strangle my kids, but the Lord will help me cool out and he gives me an approach because his thing with me is, hey, you know, I have the whole view of their lives and yours. Don't, you know, irritate them on purpose, but train them and instruct them in the way that I'm teaching you, which is of the Lord. And then verse 5, it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So back in those days, there were a lot of slaves in Rome. So with slaves come masters, basically people who supervise them. And a lot of, some of them had, you know, were members of the church now and were saved. And Paul was providing specific instructions, you know, for basically people, supervisors and workers. But they did have slaves and masters back then. So it's not just to condone, you know, chattel slavery like here in the United States. You know, because some people back in the day, especially slave masters and owners and whatnot, they use scripture like this to justify chattel slavery. That's not the case. Paul understood what was going on at that time in history in the region that he was speaking to. So he was saying, hey, this is the relationship. You work like you working unto the Lord, but you have to love one another and treat each other with respect, to sum it up. You know, so that's why I said, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And then obey them not only to win favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. So even on your job, you work like you're working for Christ. Even if you can't stand your boss, even if you hate your job, you know, you work like you're working for Christ. He sees everything, and he will reward you based upon the good that you do. I can't make it more simple than that. So even when the supervisor's looking or not looking, you still work the same way. And this is something that I've had to learn the easy way and the hard way at times, because I have a lot of flexibility in my positions. In my two jobs, you know, my third job is working for the Lord, so he's going to always hold me accountable for that. That's a whole different story. But, you know, as far as us working, you know, not using a copy machine to make copies of our flyers for our birthday parties, or, you know, stealing supplies and all that. No, we be thankful you have employment, and you work like you're working for the Lord. Real simple. Verse 9 says, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So he talks to the masters too, the supervisors, the bosses. And he says, hey, treat your slaves the same way. If I'm telling them to be respectful, you know, and obedient, you need to be respectful and obedient too, to your master and theirs, you know. So, you know, remember, no matter what your title is or what your position in life is, the Lord runs the show. You can, don't fool yourself as if you make it happen, because, you know, John can't make the sun come up, or the, you know, the rain come down, or the snow stay away. That's all in the Lord's hands. John can't even put air in his lungs. I have to trust the Lord for every breath. You know, so don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. We all have to answer to what we do on earth before the Lord. Period. So I would rather have more rewards than consequences. So let's keep that in mind, no matter what your position is. And actually, yeah, we can get on to verse 10. Verse 10, Ephesians 6 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Again, we have to depend on the Lord for everything. No matter what you think, no matter what you believe, no matter what your opinion is, our strength is in the Lord. Our existence, our being, our identity as his children is in him. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power. You know, Paul is starting to wrap this letter up to the church at Ephesus. And remember, the whole theme of this book is encouragement. You know, we need encouragement, because all the days are not going to be peachy. Everything's not going to be, you know, easy and beautiful and soft. Some days are going to be difficult. some things are going to be, we're going to face challenges and trials and tribulations. The Lord told us that in his word. But he also said, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. He also said that. But he definitely told us that we're going to have trials and tribulations. We're going to have troubles. But we have to finally be strong in the Lord, not in John, not in Pastor O, not in Sheila. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So next week, we're going to pick up at verse 11 of Ephesians 6. So let us pray, Lord. We thank you for your instruction. We thank you for your guidance through this lesson and through your word. We thank you for your word. But help us to live it and to spread it and to be diligent as we learn more about you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jonathan. Sorry, little technical difficulty there. Okay. Oh, wow. Another good lesson, Jonathan. Another Pastor Jonathan. Another good lesson, and you know, that's just some more good old fashioned home talk.
Yes,
and you know, each one of those lessons that you talked about can be broken down into a whole class, because it's like we need refreshed. We need to be refreshed, you know, like the two become one and working together hand in hand. That's a whole class by itself. You know, we get deep into it and delve into it and just really, really, you know, tell a class this, what does that mean, you know. And then loving your wife and respecting your husband and things like that. Another whole class all by itself and just some good old fashioned home talk. And God is the head of the household, you know, when you become one. And God is the center, then, you know, things will stay in order. Like you said, you know, for things to be in order, you have to have God be a part of that whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Very, very good lesson. Then
thank
other
you.
Ones, do what your parents say. Be respectful to your parents and love them. Obey your parents and demonstrate love and respect. I mean, that's some good stuff. Good stuff. We need a whole lot of that going on right now. Because we're kind of getting away from it. Yeah, kind of getting away from it. And, you know, got to bring all that good stuff back. And that's a good lesson for the kids to have. You know, just get them, goose them up on the street somewhere and say, let me tell y'all a story, you know. And just tell them about that, you know, how they're supposed to obey their parents. You know, they don't have to be like in church. You can just tell them that anytime, anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Very, very good lesson. Okay. Well, thank you. And the last thing, I know you were saying something about the trials and tribulations and the, you know, just wishing this world was just, and we didn't have any problems, you know, it's just beautiful every day and every moment, you know. I'm kind of cuckoo like that because I want it to be, and I think it is all the time. I just think life is beautiful all the time. So that's my craziness. But yeah, that would be so nice if it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good deal. Good lesson, man.
It's
a serious book. It just talks about really just family and us as people, how we're supposed to, you know, behave.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So great lesson. Thank you for that. We appreciate you. And, you know, have the best day ever.
All right. You do the same.
Okay. All right. Hey, get your coffee. I got mine. And we're going to see you on the other side of this song with our service. Amen.
time of the year when we celebrate. Let our hearts fill with hallelujah. Let's clap and rejoice, for the birth of the Lamb is why we dance. So with gladness we proclaim, the victory is won, yeah. Salvation, glory, and honor, God has given us His Son, and His name is called. Laid eyes on the child, they worship the baby. So let us do the same thing, lift our hands and adore, for you know that is worthy. So let gladness rule our heart, for the victory is won, yeah. Salvation, glory, and honor, God has sent to us His Son, and His name is called. The victory is won, yeah. Salvation, glory, and honor, God has given us His Son, and His name is called
Jesus.
Right again,
Jesus.
One more time,
Jesus.
Hey,
His name is called.
Born
Jesus.
Right now, rejoice, rejoice and be glad, Jesus, yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday Morning Worship Service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer.
And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Mother Irma Miller. Good morning.
And good morning to you. God bless you. Good to hear your voice. Amen.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're reading from 6 to 15. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. And it says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly at or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when to take your gifts to those who need them, he will thank God. So too, good things will result from his ministry of giving. The needs of the believer in Jerusalem will be met and will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to all the believers. Will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with great affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift. Two wonderfully wonderful words. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen. God bless and have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother Irma, for that scripture and prayer. You know, we truly appreciate you, and you have the best and beautiful day today.
Amen. Yeah. God bless. Talk later.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Okay, great. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor Awesome O.
Forever the same, Jesus, omnipotent. goes free.
In Jesus' name.
All things are possible. Yes, it's possible. In Jesus'
name.
In Jesus'
name.
The enemy is scattered.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, oppression must cease.
In Jesus'
name. Where two or three have gathered, God is with us. In Jesus'
name.
Call on him. Call on him for
Jesus.
He's forever the same.
Seem to quickly fade away. just one thing I really want to know. Will you let go? Stand on my word. Against all odds, will you believe what I have said?
I trust you, Lord.
What seems impossible?
I trust you, Lord.
Will you believe?
I trust you, Lord.
Every promise that I made, will you? And I'll never turn away from mine. Will you trust me, child? No matter, come what may. What if it hurts? What if you cry on my side? What if it doesn't work the first?
Affirmation that we have to make. I will trust. You know, I can't trust for you. Somebody else can't trust for you. I will trust. I will trust you, Lord. No matter what, I'll trust you. You know, I thank the Lord that he has blessed me to be able to remember the words to these songs The Bible tells us that we should sing songs and spiritual hymns, you know, to remind ourselves of the goodness and greatness of God. And they come in handy when those times that we don't like show up, when them hard times come. And those songs help us to remember that no matter what, He is still able.
Many times in life we focus on all that we don't have, and it makes us worry. But today I want to remind you of the one that you do have, and let you know that He's still able.
I've been hurt and abused, even lied to by the ones I trust in most. I've had some nights I cried more than I prayed. That's when God said to me, I am still in control.
It changed my perspective, and so
now the worry is over.
Yes.
And the doubt is gone away. God reminded me.
He reminded me
that He's still able. God reminded me
that in spite of it all,
that He's still able.
Question.
I'm afraid to carry this hurt all alone.
Today more than ever,
I need your help, Lord. With you I can move on. Now the worry is over and the doubt is gone away.
I'm not alone. About to give up.
God reminded me.
He reminded me
that He's still able.
But it's not easy because
sometimes it seems,
oh God,
there's no way out.
You're surrounded by problems.
So many problems.
They weigh you down.
You down.
But He cares for you.
You got to know,
my sister.
He cares.
My brother. Remember that
God is able.
He's able.
Able.
He hasn't changed.
He's still able. Able.
Seems like problems are waiting in line just for you.
God is able.
He's able.
Able.
You say I've never faced anything like this before.
He's still able. Able.
The odds are still in your favor because
we
my lowest point, God.
God reminds me that He's still able.
I know I can make it because
God reminded me
that He's still able.
God reminded me that He is still able. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother, Deacon Sir Charles Tate. Prepare. He's offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in His hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in His hands.
Yes, he does.
He said, I'll see you through.
And when you cry,
Just know he has his hand. Just know he has his hand on you.
Amen, 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 amen. Give me a minute. Let me get myself back together here, people, because that song right there, if you had to listen to the words of that song, it says everything. It says everything about where we are right now. If you're at the altar, no matter what's going on in your life, you just know that he has his hand on you. That song has special meaning for me, but that's a different story. But right now we're at the altar before the true and living God. And he's real. He's real. He's not make-believe. And he's God all by himself. And for that, we really thank him. So let's just go to him. What I need you to do, though, is when you take it to him, what you're taking to him right now, I just need you to leave it with him. I need you to take it to him and leave it with him. You see, it's not by chance that you're here right now. And he knew that you would be here. He knew that you would be talking to him right now about what's going on with your life. So leave it with him. Because he's the only one that can do anything about it. If he knew it was going to happen, he's the one that can do something about it. And you just have to trust and rely and believe that he's going to do what he said he would do. Like that song say, he has his hand on you. And he never takes his hand off of you. Lord God, our Father, we thank you right now, Lord. We thank you that you thought of us a long time ago, Father. See, the reason I know that you thought of us a long time ago is that you made us. And I love it when I think about the fact, Father, that you fashioned us in your own image. But right now, Father, right now, we got some stuff that's going on. Father, I don't know what's going on with the people that are talking to you. All I know what was going on with me. But for what's going on with me, Lord, I praise you because I know when those times came before, when the waters got high and it seemed like that I couldn't make it through, Father, you came through. And Father, we have to just remind ourselves that you are our light and our salvation. And there's no need for us to fear anything. You are the stronghold of our lives, Father. You're the place that we go when everything else just seems to be coming down on us. You've got us covered. But Father, it doesn't stop us from being in these bodies that we in, Father, and feeling that pain, Father. Father, especially the pain of the loss of a loved one. I just got to go there this morning, Father, because that's what really gets to us more than anything. That's what tears us up. But, Father, even when we go through that time, we have to remind ourselves that you told us not to fear. Not to fear. You told us that you're going to always be with us, no matter what comes at us. And, Father, for that, we thank you. But, Father, you know, we just ask this morning that you just comfort that one with your special care, only the way that you do it, Father. Nobody, nothing else does it like you do, Father. And see, Father, we have to remind ourselves that you told us to comfort ourselves with the word that you gave us, Father. Like I said, Father, we just got to learn to rely. And it's not that we don't know, Father, because we're still in these mortal bodies right now where we feel pain, where we feel loss, where we feel separation, Father. But you tell us also to be of good cheer because you've overcome all this. So right now, Father, it's like Romans tells us. I think it's in chapter 8 when it tells us. We have to remind ourselves that nothing will ever be able to separate us from your love, no matter what it is. If I'm not mistaken, it says not death nor life, not anything.
will ever be to separate us from your love. But Father, you tell us too to cast all our cares on you, to come to you and tell you about everything that's going on. And the reason you do that, Father, is so that we will be able to know that we have a place that we can go when everything goes completely wrong. We have the only true and living God, that when everything goes completely wrong in our life, that we can just bring it to you. And not just bring it to you, Father, but we know you're going to do something about it. You see, Father, you came down here and took the form of man just so you'll be able to know everything that we would go through. But now you're back in heaven. But you still know what we feel. You still know what we go through. And when we get down, it brings you down. But once again, Father, we just have to know that we're more than conquerors. You told us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. That means that you'll always be with us. And I love it just knowing, Father, that you will always be with us. You don't go to sleep. You don't go to sleep. You don't step off the job. You're always concerned about us. Once again, Father, even in the times when they get tough, Father, and like I said, the loss of a loved one is the toughest time that we can go through. Yeah, we go through the fact that we can't pay a bill or a house note or a car note or something like that, Father, but it's when we've lost somebody that we love, somebody that you've given us, Father, that we're in our mortal lives while we were here, Father, we have to remind ourselves that this is not our home. You made this place in the beginning for us to be here forever, but we messed it up. So we only passing through right now, Father. But as we go through, Father, we go through with you. That goes back to that self where you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We go through these lives, Father, but there's a place that you have prepared for us. You said yourself, I'm going to prepare a place for us where you'll be with me always. This is not the always for us, Father. This is only the passing through part. But, Father, once we get separated, it's that separation, Father, sometimes it really tears us apart. So, Father, I just ask that you comfort the hearts of those that have lost a loved one right now, that you show yourself to them in an extraordinary way, only the way that you can be. Wrap them up in your arms and let them know, like that song just said, you got your hands on them, Father. Keep them close to you, Father, because see, we need you. And we need you more right now than we've ever needed you before. I know that's not just the same, Father, because this world is getting completely crazy. But even if the outside world is going on crazy around us, Father, let it be that we be like that bird that's when everything is completely going crazy around him. He still gets up every day and comes out and sings because he knows that you got something for him. Father, right now, all I ask is just do what you said you're going to do. See, Jeremiah tells us that you know the plan that you have for us, Father. Sometimes we don't understand that, Father. David yourself said, Father, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be afraid because you're going to be with me. But, Father, sometimes it gets dark. So be that shining light in the life of that one that needs that life right now, that needs that light right now, Father. And not just that one, Father. Let us be as your children. Because you tell us to comfort each other, too. So let us be as your children. That when you present that to us, that we go out and do exactly what you told us to do. To help that individual. To pray for that individual. And not just pray for that individual, but Father, sometimes we need that physical hug. That physical hug. So if they allow it, Father, let it be the day that we just wrap our arms around that one that needs that. Lord God, you know, you are just that. You are Lord and you are God. You're the creator of every living thing that lives on this earth and all of creation, Father. You're the creator of everything. Father, the great part about it is that you know the hairs on our, you know the numbers of the hairs on our head. Even though you made us, you take time out of your busy schedules for each and one of your children, each and of the one that have confessed faith in you, that believe and what you told us to believe is that you are God and you got all by yourself. The one that has said those words, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are that him. We will be saved. So, Father, right now we pray for that one that hasn't made that confession yet, that they come to the realization before it's too late. You see, Father, once we leave this world, we go to that place that you planned for us. And then that eliminates that takes away that being able to go to that place that you got for us, Father. So let that one today that their belief is a little bit weak, help them to understand that now is the time. Now is the time to accept the salvation of the Lord. Because, see, Father, we're coming back here one day. You're coming back here to get those that haven't made that transition yet and that are still here. And when that day comes, Father, it's going to be too late. So we pray for that one that hasn't already accepted your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, that they would right now. Because, see, Father, you're the only one that know that time. Your son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, doesn't even know that time. But, Father, while we're here, let us remind ourselves, too, that there's nothing that comes at us that you don't know. And, Father, for that, we just ask that once again, while we're going through those times where it becomes just straight out where we face down crying, Father, keep your arms wrapped around us. Lift us up. You see, our help doesn't come from the mountains, from the hills, and all those different places. Our help comes from you. And Father, you're the ultimate helper. There is no other helper but you. See, we like might go to this friend over here, that friend over there, but Father, it ain't about all that. What it's really about is just knowing where we stand with you. And once again, Father, you promised that when this was all over, you got a place for us that we're going to go to. But while we're here, it might not be easy, but you told us to be of good cheer. But Father, no, Father, I'm not going to say but. You told us to be of good cheer. So while we're here, Father, help us to understand that everything you told us, everything you say to us, everything you do, you told us to trust in you with all our hearts and not to lean to our understanding at all and all our ways to acknowledge you. So, Father, that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to acknowledge those ways. But we know, too, just like your son said to you in the garden, Father, not our will, but your will be done. Because, see, Father, we know that your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. So right now, Father, we're going to get up from here. Once again, just keep your arms wrapped around us and help us to understand. Matter of fact, just let us know. Just let us know that you're there. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen, amen. You know, that is just why you are Deacon Sir Charles Tate. Power and prayer. Thank you. Thank you for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, Deacon. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. I'm out.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, you know, I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this song selection is our very own brilliant man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Let's prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name so precious. There is no other name I know. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name so precious. No other name I know that can calm your fears and dry your tears and wipe away your pain. When you don't know what else to pray, when you can't find the words to say the name.
Jesus.
There's healing in the name of Jesus.
Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for another day. Father, we thank you for sending songs that we can be reminded of who you are. Father, right now, I just ask that you move me totally out of the way, and you have your way. Let it be all of you, and not of me. And let this word that you have given me to preach to your people transform the lives of someone today. It's in your holy and precious and wonderful name I pray this prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. You know, the title of my message today is really a question. And it's a question directed toward the unsaved listener today. And that question is Jesus your Savior? And I'm going to add something to that. Is Jesus your Savior? If not, let him in. The scriptures that the Holy Spirit wants me to use is Acts chapter 4, verse 12, which reads like this. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the first one. The second one is John 3:16-18, and it reads like this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For those who do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord have been condemned already. You know, it's unsaved people. You are too valuable to God to reject Jesus. You are too precious to God to reject Jesus. Time is up. It's time to quit saying that Jesus is not real. Because he made you from dust. He made you from dust into the person that you are today. You know,
when you deny Jesus, you are missing out on a opportunity to experience a heavenly home in heaven. When you deny Jesus, you are missing out on a very wonderful opportunity to put on a white robe with a golden crown when you get to heaven. And I know it's hard for you to hear that, but it's the truth. There is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. The only name that you can get saved, the only way you can get saved is by believing in the true and living God, and that is Jesus Christ. You know, it says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If God didn't love this world, God wouldn't have sent Jesus to die for you 2,000 years ago. If God didn't love this world, he wouldn't have created you from dust. The second part of that says that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. You cannot get saved by believing in the Dalai Lama. You can only get saved by believing that Jesus is the true and living God. The John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God, it's God's will that none should perish, but all should come to experience everlasting life with the Father. You can't experience an everlasting life with the Father by being connected to the devil. You can't. It's not possible. It's never been possible. God wants you to have an everlasting life with him. But the only way you can have an everlasting life in heaven with your Creator is by believing in his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. The word condemn means to uninhabit. Jesus came into the world to inhabit unsaved souls. I said it just a little bit ago. When you deny Jesus, you will be denied by the Father. And I'm saying, people, you do not want to experience that. Because once you experience being denied by the Creator of heaven and earth, you will never be the same again. You will be saying, "Why did I deny God, who made me from dust? Why did I reject God, who made me into the person that I am today?" Verse 18 says, "For those who don't believe that Jesus is Lord have been condemned already." If you don't believe that Jesus is Lord, if you don't believe that Jesus is the only wise God of heaven and earth, you've been condemned already. Would mean God can't dwell in you like he wants to, because you have denied his presence. And when you get to heaven, God is going to say, "I never knew you because you denied me." Jesus is going to say, "I never knew you because you denied me before my Father." And the word says, if you deny me, I will deny you before my Father. Can I say something to the unsaved folks? Please don't go 11 days without Jesus in your life. Don't go 11 days without telling Jesus, "Jesus, I want you to be my Savior." Because you contained lives. And once you commit and repent to Jesus, Jesus will make you into who he wants you to be. Jesus thought of you. Jesus took the fall and thought of you over himself over 2,000 years ago. Matter of fact, it was over 2,021 years ago. Now, who else would do that? Who else would say, I'm going to the cross for James. I'm going to the cross for Rebecca. Who else would say that? Nobody. Nobody but Jesus can say, I went to the cross for James. I went to the cross for Michael. I went to the cross for Naomi. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You cannot get saved by believing in Buddha. You can have people tell you can if you want to, but don't listen to them because if people tell you that you can get saved through the Dalai Lama, they're denying you of a chance to go to heaven. They're denying you of a chance to put on your long white robe and that golden crown. They're denying you of a chance to have eternal life with Jesus in heaven for 1,000 years. Don't let people deceive you and trick you into believing that Jesus isn't real. Because he is the only true and living God. And let me ask you this. What are you dealing with? Are you dealing with a cigarette habit that you can't break? Are you dealing with an alcohol habit that you can't break? Are you dealing with people that are telling you that God isn't real? Whatever you're dealing with, take it to Jesus, because he is the only true and living God. Is he your Savior? Is he your friend? Is he your counselor? If not, let him in. And once you let him in, don't let him out. Once you let Jesus in, you will never be the same. Once you let Jesus become your Savior, your life will be transformed. Before I got saved, many years ago, I had questions about where God was. And one day I was driving to church, and I heard the Lord say, "Son, I'm right here. All you have to do is believe that I am real. And do you know, ever since I heard his voice, my life has never been the same. I'm going to tell you a secret. If you want to hear God's voice, walk with him. Give him your heart. Give him your heart. Unlock your heart. Let him clean you up. Let him be your savior. Because once you let Jesus be your personal savior, you will never be the same again. People will come up to you and say, "What happened to you? You used to be a gunslinger." People will say, "What happened to you? You used to be this. You used to be that." And you can tell them, ever since I let Jesus be my Savior, I'm not like that anymore. What if I say to you, "Is Jesus your Savior? If not, let him in. He wants to come in. But whatever is blocking him from coming in, it needs to go." It can't stay where it is. Don't put whatever's stopping you from asking Jesus to become your Savior in front of Jesus. Because if you do that, you will remain stuck where you are right now. And you will continue to be in spiritual bondage for the rest of your life. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you, let Jesus become your Savior, because once you do, he will transform your life. He will make your life beautiful. He will call you to be one of his vessels. He will allow you to experience eternal life with him. Please, folks, Make the choice. Either it's going to be Jesus, or either it's going to be bondage. I would advise you to choose Jesus. Make him your Lord and Savior. Because once you do, people are going to say, do make Jesus your Lord and Savior, people are going to come up to you on the street and say, what happened to you? You have changed." And you can tell them, "I've made the choice to let Jesus into my life. I've let Jesus to answer. I made the choice to answer the question, is Jesus my Savior? Father, Father in heaven, you yourself know that I didn't preach this word that you've given me for my glory, but I did it for you because that's what I'm called to do. Father, right now, I'm asking you to enlighten those that don't know you who listen to this message to become a part of your beautiful kingdom. Because once they let you in, their lives will never be the same. And Father, most of all, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. And Father, I do not take it lightly. I take it very seriously when I'm called to preach your word. Father, let this word that you have given me to preach to your people, I hope it was a blessing to someone. But most of all, Father, let it permeate their heart. Let it pierce their heart to the point where they will want to become a part of your kingdom. It's in the name that's above every name. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Yes, amen, amen, and amen. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Karen Tate, you know how much I love when you get on here and preach. And we are now officially in the Christmas season, and what a better way to start off the Christmas season, the month of December, with the acceptance and the receipt of the most awesome gift that you could ever receive, which is the gift of the acceptance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. It's above any gift that you can give. It's above any gift that you can receive. You know, it's free to us, but it cost him everything. And so what better way to start off the month of December and the Christmas season by accepting and receiving the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what an awesome, awesome sermon. What an amazing word. I'm so proud of Terrence. He has always come on here and done an amazing job, has been preaching on Blog Talk Radio for such a long time now. And his sermons have truly evolved. I remember he would come on, he'd give us a little 10, 15 minutes here and there, and now we at the point where he just be on and on and on, just giving it to us, giving us the word and giving us scripture and teaching us how to apply it to our daily lives. So what an awesome sermon, what an awesome word. Thank you, Pastor Terrence Tate, for coming on and giving us that. Pastor, I want to mention communion to you. Since I'm already in my announcements, perhaps you will come on after me and we can do communion since we've got a little bit of time. So I will go through these announcements quickly if you want to do communion after me.
Okay, yeah, I'll be doing it after.
Okay, I got you. All right, y'all, well, good morning. Pastor just said, you know, of course, after my announcements, he'll come back with communion and we'll have some closing words. So we just want to say happy Saturday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old listeners and new listeners who tuned in this morning to our Saturday morning worship service. first Saturday in December, starting off with a bang. It is the holiday season. Jesus is the reason for the season. Don't let anything or anybody change that for you, okay? Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you hear, Jesus is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is number one, okay? He remains sovereign. He remains holy, and he remains above everything. Amen. So, again, we just want to say thank you to Pastor Karen Tate, the pastor of the hour, the first Saturday of the month preacher, who without fail comes on and just really sets the tone and the pace for the way that the month is going to go in terms of the words that we receive. Just amazing. I'm so proud of him. And so, again, we know that he is always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so, Pastor Terrence Tate, we thank you, as always, for your faithfulness and your consistency, but most of all, your obedience to bring the word of the Lord to us. And so we pray that everyone in some way, somehow, was blessed by what you heard today, whether it was your church school or scripture and prayer or altar call or even the songs that have been prayed or even the commentary that we get in between everything. You just never know what somebody is in need of. And so we know that Blog Talk Radio all over the world and, you know, the body of Christ, we're all over the world. And even like Pastor said, the little itty bitty cities that we're in, you know, we can't reach everybody, but we don't know how awesome Blog Talk Radio has been to all those who are hearing the word of God around the world. And so we're just thankful for Blog Talk Radio and what it has turned out to be for us at Run for Christ Ministries. So we're so grateful. Amen. Run for Christ Ministries is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. I mean, realistically speaking, that's the only address you need to know on Sundays. Like, you don't need to know any other address, any other church, any other place. Just 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. That is where Run for Christ Ministries is located. Best place to be on Sunday morning. Just a couple of reminders that every Monday at 6 p.m., our class, Get a Grip, is here in full effect on Blog Talk Radio. Awesome, awesome. I mean, I just can't even express how great the classes are. As you know, each week we discuss different topics on mental health and Christianity and how it just all ties in together. And we just learn how to keep it together when things go wrong. This week we will be speaking about teens and trauma. And, I mean, just how appropriate is that considering what just happened in Oxford? So this is a really important class, a really important lesson, a really important discussion. So please make sure to let others know about this class. Dr. Deaconess Drew Rogers is our teacher. So, again, please join us here on Monday at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Again, spread the word and let someone know about this class. Get a grip. The study questions are already emailed. They are online on our church website. And for those who are in person on Sundays, they are going to be on the back table for you to take with you to prepare for class on Monday. Amen. Excuse me. Also, don't forget every Tuesday, 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall here on Blog Talk Radio, teaching and training day. So set a reminder for that. Also, on Wednesdays, we have our Bible reading class at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Deacon Oliver Welch this Wednesday teaching the book of Psalms, chapters 36 to 40. Again, questions have been emailed online on our church website, rfcm.org, for you to access. So on the back table for those of you who will be in person on Sunday. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries, that's the ladies' Bible class, is happening from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for that. Go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, for the phone number to be able to call in and participate in the ladies' Bible class that happens on Saturdays from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Amen? Amen. So we continue to praise God because we are still in our in-person services on Sundays, and so we're so thankful for that. So tomorrow, Sunday, December 5th, we will be having our Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. Of course, everybody is welcome, and I really literally just gave you the only address, like Pastor used to say. Our church is the only church that's going to be open tomorrow. So make sure that you come out. Again, service will start at 10 a.m. Everybody is welcome to join, but if you do, of course, you're going to be asked to wear a mask. I don't think we've had any violators. People pretty much are, you know, even if it's not being mandated at this point, I think people are just taking that extra precautionary measure and wearing a mask anyway. So you're going to need a mask to participate in our services. If you don't have one, it's all good. We got them at the back table in the basket. Just grab you one, pop it on your face, you're good to go. Our praise team, of course, will lead us in our song worship, and our very own associate pastor, Jonathan Tate, will be bringing us the preached word, so we're all looking forward to that. And so we are so thankful to God for, you know, allowing us to return in person back in August to be able to see one another. We're so thankful that we're still able to continue to see each other weekly in person. So if you're not able to attend, and you're still not comfortable with being in person, we ain't mad at you. That's absolutely no problem. We fully understand. Just please feel free to listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and the link will be there for you to listen to the service that happened at 10 a.m. Amen. Also, every Sunday, 4 o'clock, our own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on her own Blog Talk Radio show, Back to the Family. You can find her call-in number on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. There's a link there as well as a phone number. Also, check out the website, bbtsus, bringbackthefamilyus.com. Also, again, just remember to tune in on Sundays at 4 p.m. a.m. Reminder, again, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio, recorded, archived, free. Amen. RFCM.org is the place to go. I know that we have, Kingdom Agenda has been put on there. Pastor been doing his thing on our website. Kingdom Agenda is on there. We had gone through Kingdom Agenda a couple of times by Dr. Tony Evans, a couple of times at Running for Christ Ministries. Amazing, amazing class. I know that's on there, as well as major Bible themes. We went through that earlier this year. I think, Pastor, we know there's like 52 chapters in the book, but I think there's maybe 60 classes, because some classes had to go more than once. So that's also on there. You can buy the Kingdom Agenda book. You can buy the major Bible themes book and go through every single class again for free. Amen? Amen. So avail yourself of those free tools to help you in your Christian walk. Amen. If you would like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to handle your business, paying your tithes, or giving any offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. All the info you need will be available for you there. In addition to this, if you want to show some love for the preacher who brought the word to us today, Pastor Chance Tate, rfcm.org under tithes and offerings is where you can give your love offering. Just make sure you notate that it's for Pastor Terrence Tate, and it will be passed on to him accordingly. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14, 22 through 27 reads, then Judas, now Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we know that we have to seek the Lord in all that we do. Like Pastor Terrence Tate said today, do not reject him. Let him in. And once you let him in, don't let him out. Amen. So we have to seek the Lord in all that we do. And he promised to be with us at all times. And we know that the word of the Lord will not ever return to him void. And we know that the Lord is not a liar. So if he said it, it is word. Amen. So seek God in everything that you do. And he promised to be with us. And so we do have a responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purposes that God has created for each and every one of us. Amen. We have our own purposes individually, but all of those individual purposes work together for us to work as one cohesive body, as the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always. Excuse me. Pray continually. Excuse me. and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. I remember Dr. Tony Evans saying, replace every worry with a prayer. So every time something pops up and you're thinking about it and you're like, oh, my God, this is this, replace it with a prayer. Amen. So when you start replacing those things, you find yourself praying first and you find yourself praying continually. Amen. And so we ask your continuous prayers for those who are sick and shut in, those who are hospitalized, incarcerated. You know, pray for one another personally. Of course, make sure to pray for yourself. There is nothing wrong with praying for yourself, okay? We cannot leave ourselves off the prayer list, amen? Pray for those who, you know, you don't know personally, but we see things and we know that things are going on in this world. And so the Lord hears us and he knows the things that we're trying to say, even when we don't have words to put to our feelings and our thoughts. Continue to pray for our children, our nation, our world, our leaders, you know, as they're constantly facing major decisions that affect all of us, those who are missing and exploited, those who are trafficked and, you know, being, you know, abused sexually and things like that. Please make sure to continue to keep all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world lifted up in prayer. So much more. We know the prayer list is inexhaustible. Amen. There's always something to pray for. We know that special prayers go out to all of our mothers that Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Tyrone Hamilton, Pastor John McFall. We want to make sure that we are praying for all the leaders, the teachers, the parents, and the students in Oxford, Michigan. Excuse me. We keep the entire community of Oxford in our thoughts and in our prayers after the tragic school shooting that took place this week. You know, so much going on with that. You have to really be mindful of the things that you take into your spirit. The news media, social media, all types of stuff. It is constantly, it's constantly in our face. One second you're hearing this information. The next second you're hearing this information. Keep God in his place. Regardless of what you're hearing, regardless of what you're seeing, regardless of what you're thinking, God is sovereign over all. Amen. He sees everything. He knows everything. And we have the ability to pray. And that's the responsibility that we have. And we absolutely have to do that. Amen. And so this one here is super personal. As a bereavement announcement to our very own most important president, President Sharon Abraham. She lost her son, Dewan Abraham. And so we know that this is Carmen's brother, and Alana and baby Isaiah's uncle. So we just want to lift the entire family up in prayer, Sharon and Carmen, Alana, Isaiah, everyone who, you know, Dewan knew and he was close to. So keep them in your thoughts. Keep them in your prayers. All of our love goes out to each and every one of you. You all know that we are all here for you. So the funeral arrangements are as follows. It will be at OH Pie Funeral Home located at 17600 Plymouth Road in Detroit. The visitation for Dewan will be on Wednesday, December 8th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The family hour is on Thursday, December 9th at 5 p.m. and the services will begin on December 9th at 5:30. So again, OH Pie Funeral Home, 17600 Plymouth Road in Detroit. Visitation is on Wednesday, December the 8th, 5 to 8 p.m. Family hour, Thursday, December 9th at 5, and the services are to immediately follow on December 9th at 5:30. Amen. Again, keep them lifted up in prayer. You know, we got to pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, what Pastor Terrence Tate was talking about today, you know, not accepting Jesus, don't want to accept him, you know, accepting him before, but now you turned your back on him because you thought Buddha was better, or Dalai Lama was better, or whoever all these other, you know, fake gods are. You know, we have a responsibility to be witnesses, amen? And so John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That right there lets you know that eternal life hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit without Jesus having gone to the cross on our behalf. And even though he went on the cross on our behalf, if you don't accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't get some of the benefits. You don't get any of the benefits, actually. Pastor Terrence Tate was calling off some of those benefits. You don't get any of that. Amen. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your crib, your household, your immediate under your roof people, in today's time, Judea, your immediate community, Samaria, outside of your community and outside of your comfort zone, to people in places where you wouldn't normally go, and to the ends of the earth. People in places you never go around, never wanted to be around, don't want to be bothered with. Well, we have a responsibility to get the word of God to them as well. And so that's what Blog Talk Radio is so great, because we physically can't go around the world. I mean, let's be real. Most of us can't. And most of us don't want to, even if we could. So that's why Blog Talk Radio technology is what it is, because the word of God is going to all of these places that we can't get to physically. It's going to all those places that we never even wanted to be bothered with going. It's still getting there. Amen. So it's our responsibility to continue to witness so that no souls are left behind. Amen. Matthew 25:41 says that, you know, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not for people. We're not the devil and we're not his angels, so we're people, okay? And so hell is not for us. But we know that eternally some people are going to end up there because they just didn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we know that this life is short. God is not bound by any type of time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says to teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. John 14:3, I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. That is Jesus' stamp right there to say, I have a place for you, and your place is with me. And when I come back, I am coming to take you to be with me where I am. Amen. You can take that check right to the bank. Amen. Amen. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. This is my favorite one. Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. These are all these types of things that happen in this life. You know, we feel all of this stuff. We cry, we mourn, there's death, there's pain. But there won't be any more of this. All of these things are gone away forever. So we know that a lot of people are sad. We know that a lot of people are heartbroken. This is the time of year where it hits just extra hard because it's the holiday season, a time where family and friends get together and come together. Well, it's not gonna happen like that for everybody this year. And so we are heartbroken. We are sad over the things that we see, hear, and read about all over the world. So use these scriptures as well as many others in the Word to strengthen you and to give you encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. Amen. And so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and your prayers. We pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you as always. Again, the holidays are upon us, and as we know, this always proves to be a difficult time of year for so many people. So please remember to be sensitive and to be caring to those around you, especially during this time. Amen. And so again, we say we send our love, our thoughts, and our prayers to our very own Sharon Abraham, to Carmen, Alana, baby Isaiah, and also to everyone in the Oxford, Michigan community. Amen? Amen. So Matthew 5:10, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. People don't put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it shines light to everybody in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we know blessings, while material, we love those things, but they're not always in the form of money or material things. We know that you can bless someone by giving them a kind word that goes a long way. We know that you can bless someone by giving them the gift of love, which we know is free. You can bless someone by giving them a warm smile. Some of us talk to our old school parents back in the day, you know, they met their significant other by looking at them across the crowded room and smiled, and they knew then that was he was going to be my boo. She was going to be my boo. So we know that a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So it might not be sunny where you're at, but you be the sunshine no matter where you go. And shine bright to somebody in their world today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. And I don't think we really take the time to sit back and think about what it actually would be like to entertain an angel. Amen. But if it's in the word, that means it's something that we're capable of doing. So that's why it's important for you to show hospitality to strangers. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. It's the last month of 2021. Lord have mercy. The month of December. Happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners out there who celebrated this past week, these last couple days, or who are celebrating today. You already know how we do. We send special love and birthday wishes to our Running for Christ Ministries family. So my beautiful sister Carmen, she will be celebrating on the 8th. My favorite Cardinal, Elder Joe Stevens, will be celebrating on the 9th. Tyra Payne on the 11th. John, Pastor Jonathan Tate's son, will be celebrating on the 15th. And my sister Anita will be celebrating on the 31st. So y'all know, you'll be getting shouted out all month long. Amen. So we want to say happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. So, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Amen. That's Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. So your devotional for today, Savior King by Prone to Wander, which is one of my favorite websites. The story of the first Christmas will always be a favorite. A gentle night, a humble birth, an eternal purpose. The angels sang in chorus in the sky, and the stars shone brighter than ever before. And yet the world will not come to know him in his full glory until he comes again. Jesus came into this world humbly, and he died a death that was reserved for the worst of humanity, all for the love of man and securing mankind's place with him in eternity. What does it mean when we call him our Savior King? What does that name actually entail? As Savior, it means that the work is done once and for all. That's 1 Peter chapter 3:18. It means that through his sacrifice, we can overcome death as well. It means that through his death, we can have life. Our Savior healed the brokenness that was brought to us by sin, and now we no longer have to suffer the consequences of it, which is death. As King, it means that he must now reign over our lives and our spirits. The King of our heart and soul is the one we look up to and abide in all the days of our lives. His purpose and will is perfect and good and always true. This is the King we worship. And as King, we surrender our all to him, giving back glory and honor to his name and living our lives in service of him and his kingdom. The Savior who gave us eternal life is the King that leads us through all of our days. That is our Jesus, and that is what it means when we call him our Savior King. There is no one else that deserves that name but him. So as we say this prayer together, Lord Jesus, may my heart truly find its rest in you. Amen. Amen. So be filled with his spirit and encouraged today as you keep on keeping on. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. It's so good. It is, it's, you know, I always feel a whole lot better when I hear your voice. When I know that
Amen.
Baby Holy Ghost didn't send me no announcements, I'm like,
no.
My girl is on. She is on.
Yes.
And that's it. Or even
Amen.
Jesus trying to save people from my crappiness in announcements. But anyway,
that's it. It's okay. It's all right.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal.
Amen. You're welcome.
Tell Mir we said hey, hey.
I shall earn that check.
All right. Hey, y'all, it's time for communion. I want y'all to get yourselves something that's liquid, that represents the blood of Jesus, and something that is that represents the bread. It could be a cracker. It could be a literal piece of bread. You know, get you something. And we're going to have our communion service in just a second here. I'm just going to give you a minute to go and get some. I thank God for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one who made us able to be celebrate this communion. It's because of his death, burial, and resurrection and the remembrance of that, that we have this observance. And it keeps us reminded that we are connected to Christ Jesus, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are God's children. And it keeps us reminded that our Savior is coming back to get us. Amen. We will not be here forever. And those of us who don't exit this body and become present with the Lord before the rapture happens, okay, when Jesus comes, he's going to take us out of these bodies, and they're going to be made brand new. Amen. We're going to get glorified bodies. Philippians chapter 3 talks about that when we are citizens of heaven, and we look for our Savior to come from there, and who by the power that enables them to bring everything under control will give us glorious bodies like his. And so that's what we're looking forward to. But until that happens, while we're in this body, we remember what Jesus said to us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we thank you for this observance of this this communion service. It reminds us of his death, burial, and resurrection until he comes again. And we right now, Father, confess all of our sins, and we thank you for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. We ask your blessing on the bread and on the wine, these symbols of his blood, these symbol of his body that was given for us and for our salvation. In Jesus' name, we thank you again for it. Amen. Amen. In chapter 11 of the book of Corinthians, and at verse 23, Paul wrote these words, "I received from the Lord what also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let us all eat together. Amen. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us drink it together. Amen. We thank God for this communion and for each and every one of you who took part in it. And we pray that you remember Jesus. Keep him on your mind until he comes back to get us. Amen. We thank God for Pastor Terrence Tate, and we thank God for the message that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Acts 4:12 tells us there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And as Jesus said over there in John chapter 3, you must be born again. And the only way to accomplish that is to do what Jesus said over in John chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, "For as many as believed on him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. And this was not decided by human will, a mother and a father, but by God, our Father himself, gave us permission to call ourselves his children because we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen.
Got nothing on this. Sat here.